Welcome back. That was an interesting call because I remember we were talking about a couple of weeks ago about the taxes that are being written off into which companies and persons were comparing what the previous administration did when they eased the turf club. And as I said earlier, it was my understanding, and again, subject to correction, that that ease was to be able to facilitate night racing. Did it happen? I'm not a racing fan, so I would have to double check, but I don't think you have night races. And of course, then the rationale behind easing the taxes for certain persons, I don't think that has been public as yet as to who these individuals are and what is the reason for easing. It could be one that the persons have gone out of business and you can't retrieve the tax. It could also be that the person may need the money in order to expand, then to hire more people that, you know, will be able to stimulate the economy. The thing about economics, and again, I'm not an economist, but this is just based on common sense, it's all about psychology. And if how governments fail or progress, or should I say temporary succeed, because obviously they're not there forever and they always get voted out at some point, is the ability to convince the population that they are the best persons for the job, and to build confidence in the people, to build confidence in them. Then by extension, that confidence is then filtered overseas to international businesses who may have a financial interest in the country. So it's about building confidence. So when people talk about Barbados, it's not only an economy, it's a society. Yes, it is both, but you can't build one without the next, because even when you're trying to stabilize the economy, you can't forget the social aspect of it. And the social aspect of it, you have to get the people in the mindset of wanting to produce and wanting to work in order to stimulate the economy. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, madam. What I have to say this morning will not be long, because I'm not really a caller. I am a listener.
Okay.
And this morning, when you read the part of the scripture that you had chosen, there was a part that was, I think, was missing. He that without sin cast the first stone. I think you should have put in that little part extra, because all of us.
You know, I was a little bit worried actually starting off with that we can go down the whole Bible.
No,
it doesn't matter. That's okay. You're free. I wanted to be able to respond to that. This whole thing, he without sin cast the first stone, is true. All of us sin. We're all sinners. But Kadir, I am not a churchgoer to say that I know everything about God, like how the religious gurus know. I don't. And I'm not going to sit here and profess to know. There's a nice lady that I speak to. She's a Jehovah's Witness. And we have a lot of conversations and debates and a level of understanding. But when you are seeking to attack people over and over and over again and doing the same thing over and over and over again, then don't come and say he without sin cast the first stone, because you're casting.
Hold on a minute. I'm not meaning that. I mean to say to you, to what you were trying to say, is that those callers on the D side and the B side, back and forth, to the side they wanted, and doing this and doing that, and saying the same thing over and repeating themselves all the time, are the culprits of what I said. And not that I bring in the.
Oh, because I was just saying. One sec. Let's start over then. You started up by saying my preamble, I forgot X, Y, and Z, he without sin cast the first stone. So I was just trying to say that in my preamble, what I was discussing, I mean, we're all born into sin. That goes without saying. But what I was hitting at with the preamble is the persons that when they speak ill or write things about individuals, and yes, we are sinners, but what I'm saying is we can, you know, you said that I missed out that part. I was just trying to say, are you going to commit the same sin over and over and over and over again?
Well, that's what's happening.
Okay.
Okay, let's bypass that. Now, what I
you know, it's interesting, hold on, the callers, and I don't know if it's only me, But every time you have to take a caller to task, in generally speaking, they don't bother. They go like, okay, let's not go down. Let's go to something else. But you carry on.
No, my next point, you see, I let me do the talking with my next finish. My next point is it possible to have the regular callers a special line so that, you know, you find that on mornings, the usual callers, which is the regular callers, always there, you know, first.
And some people I'm not the producer, sir, and the producer
I'm
makes
not
that.
Saying he's producer, never said that.
Well, I am responding to your statement or your question or your suggestion.
Suggestion, right.
Let
right,
the
right.
producer deal with this.
So let me just advise you that we have one line, 4341790, and there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 six ways of accessing that line. So the first person that call comes up first, the second person that call comes up second, it's like a traffic light, the third person third, and so on. So what happens is that the first call that comes in goes in. When that goes off, the next one pops up, and that's how it works. There is nothing, there is no line, there is no way. Some people call from as early as quarter to 10. Some people call from more than one phone, so that three lines get tied up. But it's a traffic system, and they fall into queue. So if you call third this morning, you'll be the third call up. The person called fourth, once you go off the line, the next line just pops into place. So there is no special line or anything we can do to stop what you hear. If we do that, it would crash the whole board. And then people would start dropping out and falling out.
Okay, sir, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. My next question to my lady friend is, can you explain to me what is micromanagement? I think you know a lot about management, so that's why I say I will ask you. What is micromanagement?
You're assuming that when I was in a management position that I micromanaged?
No, I'm not saying I want to explain to me what it is.
Why don't you explain to the public what you think micromanagement is, seeing that I would know, seeing I was in a management position, several management positions in my past. So you explain it to the public, what your understanding of micromanagement is.
I am asking you.
You don't know?
I have an idea, but
well,
I,
then
I
share
don't
it
want
with us.
That stupid.
No, listen, there's no such thing as a stupid anything. If you know, take it your best shot. You know, don't be embarrassed. I ask,
okay,
what do you think is micromanaging?
If you have a business, mm-hmm. if you have a business, right,
mm-hmm.
and you're the manager, mm-hmm. and you want to be upfront doing everything, everything that happens around the management, the building or the whatever you're doing,
mm-hmm.
is we got to go right back to you. You got to be the person in charge, and you always up front with every little thing. Even though a pin drop, you got to know about it, and you got to explain why the pin drop and why it wasn't supposed to be there. I think that's why we're saying it's making money.
Okay, fair enough. It's sure. For to be a good manager, in my opinion, one, you got to make sure you have a good team. And it makes no sense putting people, these square pegs, in wrong holes, because no matter what you do, you're going to be pulling your hair out. Sometimes it may be seen as micromanaging. You inherit some staff, and because you are the manager, you know you're going to have to take the fall. You may have a tendency sometimes to get involved so that you as a manager don't look bad. Now remember, you inherit the staff. If you had a chance to choose your team, you are able to delegate and sit back and watch your team perform. Because when you know you've done a good job as a manager and not micromanaging, you should be able to give instructions, sit back. It's like a music show. Take Reggae on the Hill. If you are managing the show and the production of the show, once you delegate, you should be in the audience sitting back and watching the show unfold without having to call and ask anybody if they remember to clean out the bathrooms and so on and so forth. So sometimes people micromanage because they feel that they need to be out there and to be seen, and they like to be a boss and be, you know, and speak down to people. And then there are other people who have to micromanage because the team that they inherited more or less falling apart, and sometimes they got to jump in and do what they have to do.
So therefore, there are two sides of the micromanagement.
There's two reasons, I think, behind having to micromanage. One is a personality thing where you just like to do it, where you just don't have any confidence in your people, where you just like to nitpick at every last little thing so that you can get the glitz and the glamour and the glory. The sad part is that a good manager would always get the glory if he delegates, he comes up with the ideas, he shares those ideas, he works as a team, he and the team will get the kudos. But there are some people who go in it for the wrong, who do those types of things for the wrong reasons. So yeah, sometimes you have to micromanage, sometimes it's because you want to.
Okay, so therefore, if you want to be doing everything as a manager and just putting everything in place and just letting the workers to just
those who want to and don't have confidence in the team, even though the team is capable, they're not doing a justice. They're doing an injustice to themselves, because all they can do is get burnt out. They can be stressed. They probably can't perform as a wife or a husband at home, because they can take the stress now from work. I'm complaining to the wife or the husband and said, you can imagine I had to do all of these things by myself and so on and so forth. Realistically, they wanted to. They wanted to be the meeting to say that they did this and they did that. Needless to say, it does not look good on them in the end if you don't operate as a team. But as I said, there's another side to the coin. Sometimes you inherit people that you, no matter what you do, how much you delegate, you beg, you do all kinds of stuff to get them to do the work. They don't. So you got to get in there and micromanage. It's not the way most managers would want, but sometimes they don't want the whole project to fail or the company to fail or the customer to suffer. That's why sometimes they get involved. So there are two sides to this story.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome, and thank you for calling. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air.
Good morning, Mrs. Haig.
Good morning, Miss Haig. Yes. No, Miss Haig, not Mrs.
Yeah, Mistress Haig.
Oh, I thought you said Mrs. Haig. Yes, good morning.
Yes. I'm a regular listener to the call-in program. But I listened to something to your first open batsman since Thursday. And your first opening batter, he battered something last week, I think it's Tuesday. Anyway, I want him to know that the Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I knew what the Prime Minister did, the Honorable Prime Minister. She is a lady of heart, and her are broad, very, very broad. I don't care about the criticism. But what I find is that someone who works with someone, they should never try to have Glenn. He know who is it speaking, and he know who the person. I was a member of the Barbados Labour Party too, with him. I worked with him during the Three Blind Mice, and he knew who was speaking. Ms. Haig, I'm showing you this. Mm-hmm. The Prime Minister did with the people out in these quarters, as you heard my voice, as a foreigner, they call us. But we all are care, we have to be our brother keeper. And if we are not our brother keeper, we cannot. I sick, I lay down in bed, but I listen to everyone who call and say something. Me say, what is the Prime Minister doing? She is doing a very, very good job. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell anyone who criticize her, we cannot just take people and throw them in the road. Yes, some people do wrong to billion zero, because it's a very, very dangerous space. Because if a plane land, try to land and crash landed, it could run them burn up. It is dangerous for everybody, not for one, for every person who lives in it. And also, it could cause a downgrade for Barbados Airport too, because you know where a civil aviation is. And I'm willing to bet anybody if I'm telling them. But my piece of thing when they talk about write-off, debt or write-off, the Prime Minister, I have $5,000 on a bank for an old age pension until I get my age. And when I get my age, I go for draw. You know, in the previous government, out of that $5,000, I have to pay 25% to a treasury building out of it. So not the only Barbados Labour Party are the only party that tax people, Every one of them pop.
Yeah, they do have to, because that's the only way that, but that the way free we services, we can benefit from the hospital and our schools and our police officers, and, you know, that's the only way.
They have to give the prime minister a chance.
However, I say A, let me say B, because even though we need taxes, of course, we don't want to be overtaxed. And there's still a balance to everything that is done. So we just continue to pray for our leaders and the cabinet that they exercise good judgment when imposing taxes on the people, whether it be B or D. Because I'll tell you this, there's not a lot more Barbadians can take. That is the truth.
Mr. Sayek. My point I tried to put over. Mm-hmm. Tax needed, we have to, because if we don't do that, we cannot survive. Look at Venezuela. We have to think about the poor people in Venezuela.
Yes.
And nobody sit down. You never hear nobody in the program talk about the people in Venezuela who are suffering. You got a lot of people in Venezuela are suffering all also, and they had to come across in Trinidad and Guyana and sell their body for something in the other country, in Colombia, in them place. And which we have to think as a neighboring country, mm-hmm. because Russia go come and fill them with enough weapon. Mm-hmm. Russia ain't going to give them nothing. It's the same as the poor people in Syria. And we have to think about the people who are doing good for us. We can't just look at one side. As you say, look at the brighter side.
No, I'm with you on the glass half full type of... but I also know the positive way, yes, but you still got to be realistic with certain things too as well. But when you're realistic, you still got to look at the glasses half empty, because you're still trying your best to be positive in the wake of so many negative things that may be happening around you. Right now, not like going off track what we're saying, but about the taxes, I just wanted to bring back here that we do have to pay our taxes. And both governments, as you said, would have put taxes on its people. Both governments promised that they would do A, B, and C. Some fulfilled the promises. Some realized that when they get into office, that the promise that they made cannot be fulfilled to the extent. And then the end result would be a tax. And of course, then people get a little upset.
Yes, Ms. Egg, I'm not saying that. But as I'm saying to you or anyone else, they talk about the transport board. Look at the road. We never used to have the roads so clean. Going across Waterford, you could see everything now, clearance. And you could see the highway and byway started to look up. Mm-hmm. And this is when they criticized Sam Adams was to build in that same highway. And without a road, we don't have nothing.
I know, I'm with you. Basically, what you're saying, people can criticize, but let us be fair in our criticism. Let us not overdo. In other words, when we see good, I believe that we should always commend the good that we are seeing. So what you're saying is that there are a lot of things that you're seeing right now that you are happy with.
Yeah, a lot of fruit bearing right now.
A lot of fruit bearing. And that's fair enough. And I totally agree with you for coming to share how you feel about feel.
Miss Martley don't care what nobody say. That's all. She lived by God.
Well, I did hear her make a statement, which I kind of like the statement that, you know, she will not let anybody rent space in her head. And I think I have to adopt that too. Sometimes you can't allow people to live in your head. You have to get on with the job. You have to listen to everyone, yes, in the country, and try to make the best decisions possible moving forward. And some people, as we well know, it was a 30 love. Obviously, the country wanted to see a change. What this party now has to do is to make sure that they do as much as they can do, because realistically, they're not going to get everything done in 5 years. No party can. And you give Jack his jacket whenever you see it needs to be given. Thank you so much for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Peace be unto you and yours.
And to you and yours.
How are you?
I'm well, and you?
I'm thankful for life and the family. Everybody good?
Everybody's good. Thank you very much for asking.
All right. I'm glad to hear you this morning. I want to say good morning to the staff there and to all the listeners. You start about the internet, and all of us, if we don't be careful, we are going to have to learn by our mistakes. Somebody start already, and it will continue if we don't take heed. And persons don't know, especially young people, wants it to the young people. Everything that you put on the internet, people could tap it now, especially when you go for jobs and see everything, and that is how a lot of persons is going to lose out in getting a job. They might have good work ethics or whatever, but because of what they show on the internet, especially Facebook and the others, mm-hmm. that might stop them from getting a job. But the transport board
is people check now when you're getting in going for an interview, they go on your social media page to see what you're up to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway, with transport board, I hope that the kindly gentleman would listen to all those calling the former transport board workers, especially bus drivers, and speak to them and let them there tell him, especially when they get the bus, who are the routes that suffer the most. I worked there, and thank God it gave me this 20 by 36. I had one of the lowest jobs, but I made much of it, thank God, because they used to call me and the others' names, but we don't mind. God give me a house. So I hope that he would do that and just don't try to manage himself, calling a lot of the former workers and let them help him to run the bus routes, especially to those people far in the country that don't get a bus, especially down St. Lucia, Poycon, and those places where people don't really get a good bus route. My other thing is the utility lines. You on the road regular, Miss Haig. Mm-hmm. I know you can't drive and look off, but I guess sometimes you look up if you're in a what you would call it.
I observe as I drive, which I would have to anyway. The other cars,
you see how confused and untidy. I never see that yet in this country. Our utility lines and the poles with all these wires wrap up and dropping down, and some of these big, I don't even, it look like a tennis bat. Sometimes in the road where you go to or where you're going to pass, and they are very, very low. I don't know who in charge of telecommunication, what they are doing, because they look real unsightly. That is true. I went to Dominica's twice with those other two storms, and they had disaster. And their power lines and poles and things, they don't look like ours. It looked disgusting. And for we in a tourist oriented place, I don't feel that our power lines should look like that.
Okay, I do.
So I hope whoever in charge and the companies who sending out these people to the technicians and them asked to make it a bit more tidy and make the things look more better. Look like if it will fall and fall on you or the traffic, and then sometimes those high trucks and container trucks and things. Some of them look like if they would touch the truck, if the truck would not.
Some of them actually do.
Need to be done.
Some of them actually do, actually.
Something need to be done about that. Anyhow, Miss Haig, God bless you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
Take care. I wanted to try to see if you could get a pipeline here for me, because I still get in brown water.
Okay. We'll make a public appeal to the Barbados Water Authority, okay? Thank you. By the way, let me mention Tuesday, a person called regarding the garbage pickup, and I said to her that she said the garbage got picked up in Rice's and in Curtin's and not by her. And I responded by saying that that's on my route. And I said, you know, give them another day. Lo and behold, they came yesterday on my route. So I'm assuming that she got her garbage picked up too. So I want to say kudos again to the Sanitation Service Authority. And of course, I call them my guys, which are the guys on the route, Crane Union route, Curtin's route. Thank you again for helping us out and making sure that our garbage was picked up. Even though we had to wait long, we still want to thank you for coming and doing your best. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
A blessed good morning to you, Joanne.
And to you.
Yes, this is Mr. Harvey Culture. How are you doing?
I am very good. And you?
All the family. Are you holding on? Just got a little sinus here dripping all the time and don't care where you take it. Went for it, but
you should go to the beach.
Okay. I ain't get the chance to go to the seaweed run me. I went and the seaweed and the water looked so I must have turned my mind and I came back. So I was trying to, somebody told me that Brown Beach area is clean at night, so most probably at the weekend or Sunday or afternoon or so, I will try to get down there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Joanne, I must compliment you this morning for your preamble. Mm-hmm. And you touch you touched a wonderful spot there, because as you know, I am a person who have been victimized in this country and went through a lot, and you know, and before very things that I went through, people are very nasty, as you know, and persons, they went, I never let them first, let me say, the only thing that I had real social media's concern was a WhatsApp page. And the reason for doing that is because all of my loved ones and family who are outside, you would know that it is weird. It is cheaper to do the WhatsApp calling and messages, and you will stay in contact with your friends and your loved ones at the outside. And that's the only reason why I really had a WhatsApp page. But be that as it may, mm-hmm. you know, persons went and they set up Facebook account. I never had a Facebook account. I never had Instagram. But I don't even have to go into the detail, because you know some of what I went through.
Yes.
And persons went and they set up a Facebook account under my name. And I had to go to the, what we would call the forensic mm-hmm. persons within the
department. There's a unit, yeah, the setup for the computer.
They found out exactly the
cyber crimes, to call it, I guess.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They actually found out the server that set it up, Joanne. And I can be honest with you, the person that did it, and they asked me if I am willing to press charges, et cetera, come and give a statement, et cetera. And the person that was behind that Facebook account, Joanne, I was really appalled, because, as you know, I'm a farmer, and those individuals were persons, don't care what I had, Joanne, in terms of breadfruit, cassava, sweet potato, cucumbers, pumpkin, I would share them without a cent. You know, and these people would call me and say, the culture thing's rough with me, I ain't got nothing else to cook. And I would go with bagfuls of things, and I would give them. And because of what I went through, rather than asking a question, because at the end of the day, so long as you know somebody for 15 or 20 years, you should know the characteristic or of that individual. I don't think you should join John Public because that you're hearing this body say, the culture this, or Joanne this, or Dennis this, and join with them and drag that individual through the gutter rather than trying to console them and come in to the person directly and find out what transpired. And I know you understand where I'm going, Joanne.
Yes.
And we are guilty of that. As soon as we hear something about somebody, we join with the majority of people. This body is this, that deserves that, that should do this and that should do that. And Joanne,
it's called the court of social media.
Yeah,
in the court of social media, it seems, because they become the judge, jury, and the executioner, which is unfortunate.
And as you rightfully said, and I respect you for what you say, you're not a churchy person, but you're a woman of standard, and you're a woman of integrity, and you are a woman, and I heard you say on many occasions, you do not like to criticize or ostracize people. Because you have children, you have a family, and I always say, what you do not like for yourself, you don't put out to other people. And I want Barbadians to sit down and study some of the nasty, deplorable things that mm-hmm. they do to people, because it is a very serious thing.
Let me just share something with the public here now that you're on, as we speak about being... I don't take this as a low blow, because I actually taken it as a compliment, because I thought Mother Teresa was very good. Mm-hmm. The body said, good morning, Missy. You come across over to John Public as if you was Mother Teresa. Get real. Now, if you're getting that impression about somebody, just what he's trying to say is the old holier than thou.
Right.
I am not old holier than thou. I make, God knows, a lot of mistakes. But the point is that when you're recognizing, you try to get back up and you do what you can do. You can sin again. All of us can make mistakes. What I was saying earlier is, how can you be asking God for forgiveness if you decided that you're going to pick up and steal my pen? Mm-hmm. And you're going back and steal my pen and then somebody else's pen and another person's pen. And then you keep saying, Father, forgive me, for I've sinned. And then you're going back and do the same thing again. Father, forgive me, I have sinned. And, you know, I'm trying to say, at some point, do you not stop and say, well, God, forgive me, I'm going to try my best. You may sin a few times after, but you may take up a few more pens. But by the time you get to number 20-something and all those different times, Kadir, you ain't learned nothing. So,
right. You
know, I am not, this is not being judgmental or anything.
No.
I am not perfect. But when we are saying you learn from your mistakes, it means, okay, let me learn from this one, but that don't mean I ain't going to make another mistake on something
else.
You know, so to this person who wrote, and I can repeat,
right.
Good morning, Miss Joanne. So good morning, Miss Joanne. You comes across, this is the word, you comes across to John Public as if you are Mother Teresa, get real. Well,
but,
sir,
Joanne, let me
I can take
something.
That as a compliment. It depends
right.
on how I receive it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And let me tell you something, right?
Mm-hmm.
The word tells you that you will be forgiven 70 times 7. So the people that go in the thief, it depends 70 times because the word tells them that they're going to be forgiven 70 times 7. They think they could go and teach 70 times.
No, but you can forgive 70 times 7. Only last night, my good friend Cynthia, we were discussing this. And there's a lot of times God will forgive. What we're trying to say is the same thing, the same error.
No,
but
it means
we
that
do,
something is fundamentally wrong with that individual.
That's what I was talking about.
If they go on with that over and over. But, Julian, I want to speak to you about something. I'm saying that you were a lady who worked at the Barbados Water Authority, and you will have an idea of certain things. I know you will not go and venture into areas that you will have no idea of, because I listened to you over the years, and I know you speak volumes on what you know and what you don't know. You said receipt for clarity.
You gotta tell me quickly, because we gotta take a break.
No problem. I know how it is with the switchboard. I want to say the Barbados Water Authority have been going through some serious challenges. Yeah, and we are asking farmers, like myself, I have gone through the hard pipe with water. But what I have done is I have gone to Pine Hill Dairy and bought some of those drums. They sell some drums for $5.
Well,
there.
I'll tell you what. Why not we discuss?
You
want to hold on? Maybe come back after the break, and you can tell us all about this new setup that you have. Okay. We'll be back.